Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host, Ian Bush. And that was Davey Williamson, his song, Thin Disguise. He has not called in yet, so you may just get Ian and I tonight. And if he doesn't call in, what we're going to do is chat plus play music from some artists that we've had on here before and we'll have on here again. I hope Davey calls in because he is a very interesting music artist who has had hits in South Africa. So, Ian, it's you and I tonight, my dear.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on a Tuesday night. I just hope he's okay because
that's actually the
funny thing about, like, before the show we were talking about how brains work, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's always, like, my brain always goes to, like, if somebody, you know, well, they always call in. Like, what happened? Like, are they in the hospital? Do I need to start calling the jails? Do I need to?
Well, in my case, maybe. No.
Well, Yvonne always posts the shows up. Do I need to? What? I'm not prepared for this.
You would always be prepared, my friend. You're always prepared.
Oh,
if I've taught you nothing else, I've taught you how to be prepared. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when I ran this show the last time, Ian became my stand-in, especially towards the end when I just could not do it because my husband was dying. And I'd say, Ian, can you take the show tonight? He'd say, yeah, not a problem. I'll never forget that. You don't know how important and how wonderful and how confident I felt in you during that time.
Thanks. Well, I just like to help you because I knew how much the show meant to you. And then, like, I remember vaguely, I mean, it's been a little bit of time, so I don't remember verbatim the conversation, but I remember, you know, you were doing the show and you're really proud and all that. And you're like, I'm just going to start canceling guests. And I'm like, no, no, you're not. Like, I will do it. And you're all like, no, no, like, I don't want to. And I'm like, no, like, we got to keep the show running. So I was happy to do it for you.
And you did a great job.
You
did an excellent job. And I'm going to tell you what, this young man, when he first started doing this show, he told me later, he said, I was a little stiff because I wasn't real sure. And I told him, I said, Ian, all you got to do is just be yourself and just go with it. The conversation will take itself where it wants to go. And he found out real quick, it does that, doesn't it?
There's a couple times where I'm like, no, don't take the conversation that way, Yvonne. Oh, no, we're going. Like, grab you by the hand. Oh, no, we're walking. We're going.
We're there. But
yep.
That's why we call it off the chain. I mean,
of course.
Anybody can do a podcast. Anybody can sit and do scripted conversations with another person. You sit and you look at a piece of paper, you ask a question, they know the answer, so they read the answer. That comes through in the show. People aren't stupid out there in radio land. They know when someone is being prompted and when it's just a conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think that's big key to our success is we truly, I mean, we say it almost every night. We don't know what we're going to talk about. I'll throw a question out there and we'll just start pulling a thread, or you will, and we'll start pulling the thread. And sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, sometimes we think, you know, you just never know.
And that's what makes this show so fun, because we've had some interesting conversations with our guests, and they've come back and said, Yvonne, that's the most fun interview I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was at an event on Sunday, and it's the first book event I've been to since Jack died, and I was talking about to other authors at this event, I want you to come on my show. It's a call-in show. You call in from your home. It's you and I and my co-host, and we're just having a conversation. And I want you to know, the main thing that I got was, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
What are you? I don't eat people except on the second Thursday of every month.
Right, and they usually deserve it. So you're doing like community service, you know?
Yeah, really?
They should be thanking you.
You think? But yeah. I told him, I said, look, okay, these are the numbers for today. We're heard in 32 countries, the Czech Republic, Finland, Guyana, South Africa, the Netherlands, France, England, Russia, New Zealand, Australia, Brazil, Portugal, Spain, Greece, France, the USA, Canada. That's the ones that I can remember. The Philippines. We're heard in the Philippines. And we're at 145,667 listeners. And we've been on air, what, maybe a month and a half?
Yeah, I think this is our... Let's see. So if we do two a week, and we've been doing it since the first week, no, the second week of July, that's 2, 4, 6. Man, I went to high school, like public school. Hold on, 6. And now we're about halfway through the month. So what?
We started the debut was on July 5th. Today is the 10th.
Yep.
So a month and a week.
Yep.
5 weeks we've been on the air, and the people that we have interviewed have gotten this much exposure. And it's, I told him, I says, it's free exposure. Mm-hmm. Put your big girl and boy panties on, set up a show, and come play with us.
Right. Bring your toys.
I don't get it.
But I don't blame them for being scared because, you know, people are asking me because it's almost become a religious thing that people are like, do not plan anything with Ian on Monday and Tuesday. Like Monday and Tuesday night, don't do dinners, don't play video games with him. He will call you when he's done. And they're like, they ask me the same question. They're like, aren't you scared that you're going to say something stupid? Stuff all the time. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we say something stupid all the time.
Right. Like, once you do it the first time and you have the initial fear of like, oh, wow, 165,000 people just heard me say something stupid, like, or 145, see, that was stupid. I mean, I didn't screw up a number. You just said darn number. you know, once that initial horror is over, it's like it's smooth sailing after that. You're just like, meh, yeah, nothing happened. I didn't have any death threats. My persona was not destroyed.
Your reputation was not. Think about all the disc jockeys on all the radio stations across the world. Think about the live entertainers like the Johnny Carsons of the world. Think about politicians. I mean, human nature, we're all going to say something that people are going to scratch their head over. But what I have learned is when I do that and they scratch their head over it, they don't forget me.
No. Well, in the hats, of course.
Well, of course. Of course.
Of course.
That's very true.
The fashion is on point. No.
But of course,
you know,
is.
The only thing that I wish we would have, and this is kind of a challenge to our listeners, is I wish we'd have some call-ins every once in a while. Like, we want to hear from you guys, too, you know? And gals, excuse me.
Well, see, and again, the call-ins are afraid. They're afraid to call in because they don't want to be out there. You know what fear stands for. It's an anagram for false evidence that appears real.
I didn't know that, but now I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Because people are always fearing the worst that can happen. Well, the worst that can happen is that they hate you. The best that can happen is that you get heard all over the world and your book sells, your music sells, your artwork start selling. I mean, this is an avenue for indies.
Did you know, since I've been doing these shows with you, that my old author page has been getting hits again? I literally did not even put two and two together because I was like, oh, like you have 9 new views on your author page. I'm like, wait a minute, like why? Oh, they're looking me up through the show. Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about your books. I want to talk.
You're grabbing me by the hand again.
This young man is a prolific writer. He's very, very good at his craft. So tell folks what you've written and what it's about. I mean, this is you and me tonight, so we've got an hour, so go for it.
You really think we're not going to be able to take up an hour?
Oh, no, we'll take up an hour, but we're going to talk about your books, too.
And then we'll have to bring you back on the show.
Yes. Don't make me send you to your room tonight.
So kind of got hooked into the horror genre. First one was about a EMT firefighter who likes making people's wishes come true. We actually talked about that, but the publisher was a little bit nefarious and, you know, but we still did good. It still made sales and it wasn't about the sales. It was more about generating a conversation. I think that's always what I've wanted. I didn't want the money. I didn't want to, you know, get notoriety. I just wanted to get the frickin' voices out of my head and have somebody, you know, read something and just be entertained for a little bit. Like, just have a friend that they're like, oh man, if I get an Ian Bush book, that's a friend that's going to keep me entertained for a little bit. So, you know, it did what it was supposed to. And then we did, I'm thinking, Satan's Holiday with you. That was how we met back in 2013.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Yeah, because the first book got published in 2010, and then it fizzled out in 2012, and then you caught wind about the publisher, and you swooped up the children like you normally do, and that's why you're not allowed within 500 feet of schools. You just swoop up future aspiring artists, and you're like, come with me, I will show you.
Come with me, my children. Just call me the Pied Piper of the indie author world.
Right, exactly. And all the mice are coming to you. Yeah, no. So we did Saint Holiday. I've been telling myself I need to go back and read what's been published because it's been that long. But you probably have the same thing, don't you? Like you just, especially you pump out books pretty quick. Are pretty frequently that you can't remember all those children. Like,
I know there's at least 20 out there between the short story anthologies I do now and the books that I've published. In fact, I am working on a new short story for AMR Publishing under, you might want to hook up with Andrea Rhodes. That would be a good thing for you to do. Hook up with Andrea Rhodes and write short stories for her anthologies. That'll get your brain back in gear. She does horror. She does thrillers. She does all kinds of stuff.
I was actually going to hook up with our friend Mary from Unique. And I had a feel-good story that I'm like, you know what? I think I could send it to them, and I think they could go with it.
She would love it.
About not judging people. I'll give a short taste.
That would tickle her to death because she's always looking for new writers.
Yeah, well, and so I told her that I think it'd be more impactful if it's a video. See, now I feel bad because now I'm like calling her out so she doesn't pick it up. She'd be like, well, no. Now I look like
she'll
a mean person.
Up.
I didn't pick up his idea.
Well, see, what goes along with that is the story, the article goes in the magazine, and then we also do an audio version of it, and it goes up on their Blog Talk Radio show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it was going to be something about not judging people based on their titles, essentially. So, like, I picture that there's these actors and actresses that are sitting in the dark, and they're like, what if I told you I was gay? What if I told you that I couldn't get out of bed this morning because my depression is so bad? What if I told you that I'm a Republican? What if I told you, and, like, just go through it and then, like, speed up the voices, and then at the end, like all of them say together, like, I'm trying to think of what would be powerful, something along the lines for me, like, it doesn't effing matter. And then like the light turns on and then they tell you what they want you to see who they are, like what labels they actually want you to know of them. And then it's like a one-on-one interview, like, you know, yes, I am a Republican, but I also do XYZ. Yes, I am gay. I've been with my partner, and this is how, you know, we met, and this is how we came out together. And then, like, at the end, just do something like, you know, labels don't define us. We define the labels or something like that. So
I think that would be a great article.
Yeah, I've been really busy lately, so I've been trying to write it on scrap pieces of paper as I've been living life.
Yeah, you need to keep a little notebook with you, my friend. Carry a little notebook around with you.
I know. I used to carry a lot of things with me.
My word.
But
what you don't know about me is growing up, and I am a child of the 50s and the 60s, and even when I was in grammar school,
mm-hmm.
I was labeled.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
it followed
too.
Me. It followed yeah. me. The teachers used to tell my mother, well, she's doing the best she can do because math was not my friend, but I was very good at writing and drawing, but I couldn't write because I couldn't do math, so they took writing away from me. And what that does to someone is it destroys their desire to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't believe in labeling people. When we label people, what that does is it says a whole lot about what we are not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you put and them in this little box. Like, people aren't boxes. You don't
no.
just say, he's a white man, and then done. Like, no, I'm more than just a white man. Like, I do these shows, and I have a daughter, and, you know, like, I have people in my
person.
Life that, well, I try. I'm not always a good person.
Now, Yoda says,
means,
do,
but,
Yoda says do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah, he does. But, no, so, yeah, that's the latest and greatest besides doing the shows with you and all that. And speaking of doing the shows, you wanna play another one for our guest tonight?
Yeah, let's play. He had a single that was released, and it is
mm-hmm.
called Down by the Fire. It's a very interesting song. David Williamson, Down by the Fire. He, for some reason, is not with us. We don't know why. Hope he's okay. But we're going to play his music anyway and give him the courtesy of thinking he could have very well forgotten.
Yeah.
That does happen, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
We will be right back.
I've nothing left to hide.
Believe.
If you leave, it won't set you free.
This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host, Ian Bush. That was Davey Williamson with Down by the Fire. Davey was supposed to be our guest tonight. We don't know what happened to him. We hope everything is okay with him. But we are going to muddle on, as we always do, because we are professionals. And hopefully David will be able to join us at a later time. What do you think about his music, Ian?
He gives me an Incubus vibe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he gives me a little bit more grungy of an Incubus. Like if Incubus and what's a grunge band that I could like think of that mix well? But you kind of hear it too, just the tones that he does.
Mm-hmm.
It just reminds me of Incubus. I don't know why. That was the thought when I was researching him. I was like, man, like. Like Incubus and something else. I just can't think. What do you think?
Well, he's been around for a minute. He's been out there for almost 25 years. He was in bands like Third Class Passenger and Ma Shop Pa. And then he went solo in 2020 with Thin Disguise, which was the start-off song. He reminds me of the electronic bands like Jason Norwood and Cypher, and he has that type of I want to call it warehouse garage metal that was popular in the UK back in the day.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking too, with the grunge thread, that like a little bit kind of Sex Pistol-ish maybe with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. He's an interesting character. His father was in music and his mother was a nurse. Mm-hmm. He's got some interesting background to himself, and that's why I wish he was here with us tonight, but maybe next time. Maybe we'll find out what happened.
I was actually reading that he uses music to fight like his own personal demons, and which is actually a very common theme with a lot of our artists on here, and I think with us too, that the pen or the mic or whatever we do kind of puts to rest some of those things in our life that bring us discomfort.
I think you're right, because in our world of art, sometimes it is an escape. It's a way to put down how we feel or what we're thinking about or our moods.
Our thought processes. Yeah, like what we're trying to pick apart and decipher,
But then, ladies and gentlemen, we are artists and we are a different breed. It takes someone special to be able to deal with us, because we are a strange bunch of people, aren't we? I know I am.
we all are a little bit eclectic, aren't we?
But just think how much.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, just think how much fun we have, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back to the labels talk that we were having, too. And actually, I think you and I shared that conversation, that I also grew up being told, we don't use the word anymore, and I kind of despise it, but, you know, they said I was retarded. They thought I couldn't read. Because I couldn't understand how to hold a pencil. They thought that, like, my motor skills were off, and it took about fourth grade when I was reading Lord of the Rings before the movies came out, just because I thought it was an interesting book. My teacher actually sat down with me, and she's like, what are you reading? And so I told her, and she's like, oh no, we made a mistake with this one. he understands it. He just has a speech impediment, you know. He's not mentally anything. He's just has some special needs that he needs to get fixed. So, yeah, that's actually something I still grip with to this day, just remember being labeled like that. And it's actually funny because if I talk too fast or I get too excited or if I'm tired, I will actually revert back to my old speech patterns. And so, you know, I don't have a I don't have a girlfriend, I have a girlfriend. And, you know, like, I don't think, I think that that's okay, you know, and stuff like that. It's just funny. I mean, it's funny looking
back.
Well,
when I get tired, I stutter, so, and then I can't remember things.
I stutter when I'm drunk. Is that nonsense?
One has nothing to do with the other. But it's like I told someone. When I do a lot of public speaking, and when I talk about my brother, who is the reason that I do what I do, he was labeled retarded back in the 50s, and somebody forgot to tell him he was, so because they didn't tell him he couldn't, he did. They didn't tell me I could, so I didn't, but he always knew he could. And he shouldn't have been able to, but he did. So when I hear people say, well, I can't do this because of this, I look at him and say, are you really that into yourself that you have convinced yourself that you will be no better tomorrow than you are today?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You have, it blows my mind. Because here is this child that was never supposed to walk, never supposed to talk, never supposed to take care of his daily functions, never supposed to go to school, never supposed to be able to reason.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody forgot to tell him he couldn't. So when he was out playing one day and somebody new moved in the neighborhood and didn't know who he was and the little boy called him retarded, he went in the house and asked my mother what retarded meant. Now, my mother was a very wise woman. She didn't poo-poo it. She didn't get angry. She said, Stanley, you know, sometimes when you get a sore on your arm or your hand and it's real deep and it leaves a scar, he said, yes. She said, well, you had a sore on your brain and it left a scar. And he looked at her. Now, this child was 9, 10 years old. He looked at her and he says, oh, I'm just slow.
That's so sad.
What do you do? But see, he understood that he had a challenge, but it did not define him. He owned
right,
it.
But just coming to that realization, though, that, oh, I'm just slow. It's like, no, buddy, you're not slow. Like, you just, you have to do things just a little bit slower, which means, you know, he probably has better attention to detail that way because he's not trying to run through life, trying to, you know what I mean? Like, I've always done that.
He worked from the time he was 7 years old with my other brother. They threw papers. That was back in the day where you threw the papers and you went and collected the money.
Yeah. What's a newspaper you want? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. You're not of that generation. But he also went to work in the corporate America when he was 16. He rode a bus from East Point, Georgia to downtown Atlanta to go to work by himself. Now, I know grown people that won't do that. But he understood, Ian, that he had to approach the world differently than most people do. And even now, when he gets excited, I mean, when he really gets excited, he speaks in an unknown tongue, and I don't speak that language. So I will say, Stanley, honey, I love you, but I'm not understanding the language that you're speaking. Do you mind translating for me? And he gets it, and he's not, I don't hurt his feelings by it. So the last time he was down here, he was tired, and he was just talking a mile a minute, and he was just, there was that unknown language again. I don't know what he was speaking, but it wasn't English, or it was English, and it wasn't an English I understood. And he looked at me, and he says, Yvonne, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'll slow down so you can understand me. Now, Ian, I know grown people that have most of their mind that have no realization to their own shortcomings and understand that they have to accept them and embrace them. And that's what he's done.
He never
wanted us to give him any quarter, and he wouldn't accept any quarter. When we played street lot baseball, the pitcher stood on the pitcher's mound. They didn't come up close so he could hit the ball. He would make them go back to the pitcher's mound. He would stand there till they went back to the pitcher's mound.
I miss doing stuff like that. When I was in Virginia, there was a group of people who would play soccer and stuff like that, and they were, you know, adults and children, and we don't do stuff like that anymore. Those are the good days.
People are too afraid of getting close to anybody. They don't even speak to their neighbors. Are you kidding me? They don't even speak to people in line when they're standing in the grocery store. They're too busy or too something. I don't know. I make them talk to me because I smile at them. And I say, how are you doing today? Just because I'm that person. Because I'm evil.
You know what I always do? And I don't know where I picked it up. It's very northern of me because, you know, I really love my northern roots. If people are like, hey, how are you doing today? I'm like, do you really want to know? It's just better than saying good. It just throws them off just enough where they're like, whoa, this conversation is going to be different.
Well, when you think about it, when someone ask that question, they really don't want an honest answer. They're just making an empty conversation. I call it empty words, small talk. I don't do small talk.
No, I don't either. Other countries are really big about that, where if they ask how you're doing, like they want to know. It's not just a greeting like we have it here in America. Some countries get really upset about that. You're just like, oh, good. And they're like, just good? Yes. Like, what's your deal?
Because they are into people. And Americans are not into people. They're so into themselves that they're not into others. Yeah, I know. I'm probably going to get some backlash on that, but I don't care.
Well, you never do. Bless their heart. No, I mean, and I think that's why I'm really happy is that a majority of the people we bring on this show are very good people. Like, I can't think of anybody that we've interviewed that I'm like, ugh, like, this person's sketchy. Like, this person's all about themselves.
Everyone is, well, and you got to remember, too, Ian, that the people that we bring on this show for the biggest majority, because we haven't had anybody with a platform yet or an agenda, are artists like us. And in this indie world that we live in and work in, we are a community and we support each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're not out to cut each other's throat.
No. Well, and we just want to create. We just want to leave things behind that transcend how transcends more than our mortal coil, you know. That was my biggest thing about writing. I just wanted my kid to tell her kids, like, this is your dad. And they're like, oh, man, he wrote about that. Or, hey, like, I feel like I can hear him. I know you have that, too.
Well, that's why I wrote the book about my brother, because as I got older and I realized that someday all of us as the siblings would be gone. All of our children would be gone. And nobody would remember Stanley. And I wanted Stanley to be remembered because he has contributed more to society than most, quote unquote, if there is such a word, normal people, because we are all, when you think about it, we're all retarded in some way. I'm left-handed in a right-handed world.
Yeah, and, you know, my dad is too, actually.
Well, see, we're geniuses. That's what people don't understand. We're geniuses.
Well, you're in your right mind. You know that, right?
Well, that's true. That's what I keep telling people, and they just look at me like, okay, Yvonne, whatever world you choose to live in, honey, that's fine with me.
time to go to bed.
Just saying.
Yeah, I know. He always makes those jokes. They're like, man, it's not easy being a lefty. Everything's made for you, but it's not for me. And I'm like, yeah, Dad, I know. It's your right joke.
Well, okay, if I buy a left-handed pair of scissors, it costs three times what a right-handed pair of scissors cost. When you open up doors, they're built for right-handed people.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so, when you look at the world outside of a prism and you look at all the different things that the world is built on because the majority of the people are right-handed, you go, wait a minute, there are those of us around and we do exist, but everything is toward right-handed people because it is the majority. Bless them.
You know, it's funny. I've been accused that I've been a smartass like once or twice in my life. I don't know why.
Not
I've
you.
Never.
You,
I've
no.
never seen it.
No,
but
no.
With my dad,
wouldn't.
I would grab things like circles or like things that you could easily switch between hands, like coffee cups. I'm like, hey, Dad, is that a left-handed coffee cup or a right-handed coffee cup? He's like, shut up. You're reminding me.
You are an evil child. You are possessed. Back, Satan. Back.
Hey, Dad, is that a left-handed steering wheel or a right-handed steering wheel? Shut up.
Uh-huh. Just remember, one of these days, you're going to, well, you already have a daughter, but I hope she grows up to be just like you. The curse works,
sure
trust
has.
Me. It works.
Sure
I used to tell my children that, and they didn't believe me. And one day, my daughter called me, and she said, Mama, the curse works. I said, what's happened now? She said, Brittany is just like me. I said, I told you that was going to happen when you were doing the things you were doing. I said, I hope you grow up to have a child that's just like you, and you didn't pay me any attention. Well, guess what? She had six of them. And they're all just like
her. Did I tell you that I think I'm still friends with Brittany, actually. So I still try to keep up with her every once in a while.
I am so proud of that child. I'm not really proud of the Army recruiter because he was a jerk and he kept putting her off and putting her off. But maybe that wasn't her path. But she is 20. How old is she? 23 years old.
Yeah.
And making more money at her job than most 40-year-olds with a high school education.
Oh, yeah. Telling you, I keep saying to my kid, I don't care what you do. If you don't want to go to school after high school, I don't care. There are trades out there. Like, trades do not get enough love.
No, they do not. No, they don't. And without trades, your car wouldn't get fixed, your plumbing wouldn't get fixed, your furnace and your air conditioner wouldn't get fixed, your houses wouldn't get built.
Mm-hmm.
So your computers wouldn't get made, because I know a lot of kids that have a high school education that are wizards in building computers and programming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and it got even worse when you can just go on Google and YouTube and essentially get an education without even the piece of paper anymore. Like,
exactly.
We should not go down the education war path.
Let's do it.
Oh, no. Because I'm still certified in Michigan. Like, I was going to be a teacher, and I just took a different path, and I'm glad I did, because I would lose my mind. I would go apeshit.
I don't blame the teachers, because there are good teachers out there, but they're not allowed to teach.
Right.
That's
what I'm mad
about. They teach to the test. They don't teach to the
right.
curriculum. They teach to the test. So, speaking of, I'm glad you brought that up. In Oregon, one of the most liberal states in this country, it should just be a country all of its own. They have the most liberal criminal justice laws, and now you don't have to have math, writing, or reading to graduate. Tell me how these kids are going, if they want to go to a trade school or if they want to go to college or if they're going to get a job, how they're going to be productive citizens if they don't have the three basics.
You know, there's a me and my Facebook memes. There's a meme out there that says, I didn't learn how to do taxes when I was in high school, but I sure remember the Pythagoras theorem.
Exactly.
And that always makes me laugh, because that's my biggest gripe about the education system, is that we do not teach people how to think. We do not teach people how to live in society. We do not teach people even what type of learner you are. I cannot tell you. Oh, see, Yvonne, I warned you. I cannot tell you the amount of people that I say, hey, are you like a see it, do it type? Do you have to hear it? Do you just want to read it? Like, what is it that you want to do to learn this program? And they're all like, well, Ian, you're the first person that's ever asked me. Like, most people don't care. They just shove down their way of teaching down my throat, and I just learn it, and it's death by a fire hose. And I'm like, well, that's not how we learn things.
Like, right. And the sad part is, if person has is a visual learner,
mm-hmm.
when they're not allowed to learn visually or hands-on, they are cheated mm-hmm. out of a well-rounded education.
Yeah. And I'm sitting tired of these pieces of paper being more important than, man, I've met people who are way more street smart who don't have
mm-hmm.
an associate's. I've met some really educated idiots in my life. Like,
well,
that master's degree.
I have a saying that some of the dumbest people I've met have initials behind their names.
Yeah.
They're very intellectual and dumb as a bag of rocks. My late sister, bless her heart, was one of those people. She had a degree in communication, smart as a whip. And could not get out of her own way. And I loved her, but she could not get out of her own way.
And that's what frustrates me, because, you know, it used to be, you know, back in my day, yeah, not that long ago, but, you know, if you had an associate's degree, you were styling. You're like, oh, man,
mm-hmm.
higher education, ding. Now, in my peer group, I damn near need a master's degree for something that I don't even like to do. Just to progress, just to be ahead of the curve. Like, it does not matter that I got a bachelor's. I have to go get a master's. And it's like, when do we stop that? When do we say enough is enough? If you have higher education, that makes you a good person. Not, oh, well, the standard is the master's. Like, the associates and bachelor's don't matter anymore. What the hell, it doesn't.
It does matter.
You went above and beyond. Right, exactly.
When are we going to bring back into the high schools trade? When I was in high school, the kids that made the decision not to go to college, but they wanted to learn a trade, they learned the basics of that trade in high school.
Yeah. I was so fortunate that we had, we call it VOED, but it's secondary education, that instead of doing some, you know, elective class like gym, you went to another building and you learned your trade. So
right.
I was really fortunate that I went to Education Academy, Ms. Fisher. I'm still friends with her on Facebook, which is hilarious. And, you know, she taught me a lot of what I am expressing right now. And then after that, you know, I got my my certificate in teaching so I could go be a substitute, essentially. So I left high school with a foot in the door for teaching already, and I was like 19. Like,
well, I tell you, the school system needs to bring back corporal punishment, because corporal punishment, because some of those little suckers need their butts beat. They have absolutely no respect for anything or anybody.
Yeah, but if you keep teaching people that they put their hands on you is the way that you're going to respect them, that doesn't, like, I vehemently disagree. That's why we have most of the men who beat on women today, because they think
No.
What are you talking
no.
about? You literally just said we need to bring back punishment, that if you do not conform to my standard, I'm going to whip you. Like,
that's exactly
where these man beaters.
Not conforming to their standard, but when a child is allowed to stand up in a classroom and call his teachers names, tell them to F off, and physically abuse their teachers, what do you want to do? Give them a lollipop or put them in timeout? That doesn't work.
No, that's when the teacher turns her back for a second, and you get someone like me to jump up and take care
uh-huh.
of it.
And see, I rest my case,
come,
Your Honor.
Come with me, my friend. Yeah,
we are on the
me.
Same page. I'm not saying
Why?
That a teacher should cause. If a I want children to be free thinkers, but I want them to be free thinkers with respect.
Right, but for me, and again, where I mean, we got a little bit of an age gap. That's cool. That brings good conversation. But for me, if you can say something and make me conform, you have way more power over me. See, now the speech impediment, you got me all fired up. You have way more power over me than if you just sit there and beat my butt. Like, this body does not – this body's just a meat wagon for the squishy thing in between my eyes. Like, you can beat me all day and I don't care. You know what I mean? If you can use your words and communicate to me to conform to something, even if I'm being disrespectful, way more respect and authority. I hate those people who use their title
obviously,
or their rank or
obviously you haven't dealt with some of the little juveniles that I've dealt with in my life.
Oh, trust me, I'm dealing with a couple juveniles in my life right now. There's some people that if I catch them in an alleyway, I'm going to make them feel what they felt for their victims. Like, I'm, oof. I mean, we were talking about that last week, you know?
I don't know if it was last week or the week before.
Yeah, but, oof, some of those people, if I could get away with it, oof. I will be judge, jury, and executioner. You will pay for your sins. It is time. Retribution is now. Like, oh.
And guess what? We have reached the 5-minute mark.
Our lovely friend reminded us.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my co-host, Ian Bush. And as you all can tell, tonight was a conversation with Ian and I, and we talk about everything. We don't care. We've been friends that long. And this is just another example of how two people can have differing opinions and thought processes. And at the end of the conversation, we still love each other. I can fight with Ian, but nobody else is going to touch him, because if they do, then they got to answer to me. And then it gets really, really ugly. So just bear that in mind. Anybody that tries to put my youngin' down gets in serious trouble. Am I right or am I right?
Oh, you're right. I've had a couple people tell me already, like, hey, Yvonne reached out to me. I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, well then. I know what that consisted of. Not corporal punishment, but damn near.
Yes, it's called the death of a thousand cuts.
Oh yeah.
They don't know they've been decapitated until their head rolls down the road.
Well, are you going to come back on the show, Yvonne? Can we schedule you for next Monday?
Oh, of course. You know we'll be here.
Okay.
Next Monday, we will have Don Colisi. And on Tuesday night, we will have Ed Roman. Ed's been here before. Next Monday night is Don's first night with us. I hope he does remember the show. I hope he doesn't have a conflict. If not, we'll do something else like we always do. So, Mr. Ian, what words of wisdom do you have tonight?
You said it perfectly. That was actually going to be my words of wisdom, is that it's nice that in a society that when you're different, you're shunned, or, you know, friendships get ruined over conflicting thoughts and feelings and all that. It's nice to have a respectful, engaging conversation about the things that actually matter besides, you know, what's on TV and how's the weather. So I appreciate that. I've always appreciated that of you, and I've always, you know, really appreciated that you always kept me in your circle. So you're a friend, and you know I love you to death. So, you know, I'll do anything for you.
I love you too, my friend. And ladies and gentlemen, come back and join us next Monday night, because this is Off the Chain, and Ian and I never know where this show's going to go. We have no idea. It just goes, because this is who we are. This is what we do. And at the end of the day, if we leave a positive impact on one person, then our job is done. If you learn something tonight that two people on opposite ends of the age spectrum can have a debate, a conversation, and still love each other at the end of that conversation, we need more of that in this world. Because if we have more of that, then we're not always at each other's throats. Facebook does not become a battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right, Ian?
Yeah, just take it out back.
Well, my darling friend, you go and let your tribe over there know that you are now open for business, because, ladies and gentlemen, he will not, his friends all know, you don't do anything with Ian on Monday or Tuesday night between 8 and 9. It doesn't happen, because he's right here with me. So join us again next week. And we will be here on Off the Chain one more time, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. And you know, that saying came because the creeks used to rise up and kill people. And so when people would say, I'll see you later, it would say, if the creeks don't rise. Did you know that? Little trivia there.
I didn't.
Well, there you go. So until Monday night, my dear friend, I love you, and I will see you then.
Love you too. Night, y'all.
Talk to you later. Good night. Good night, everyone.